The scripture verse that's listed in your devotional, Hebrews 4, 12, and 13, and the one that is on the back is not the one I'm going to be reading. I'll be reading verses from Nehemiah, actually, from Nehemiah 8. So I'll just invite you to listen along. But I will include first the quote that's inside of your devotional from Martin Luther. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. The scripture verses in Nehemiah speak about the power of the Word of God. And a little brief background of the verses that we will be reading. The nation of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for a little over 70 years. They just returned to their city of Jerusalem out of that captivity. While they were in captivity, they were not permitted to hear scripture. It was the main way that scripture was shared, was through reading and listening. A reader would read scripture and they would listen, and they were not permitted to hear scripture during that time. So what we are witnessing here in these verses in Nehemiah are the Israelite nation hearing the word of God for the first time. It's beautiful. From Nehemiah 8, scripture verses from Nehemiah 8. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. On the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. While he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. May God bless that reading.
That's one of my favorite stories in Scripture, what Teresa read. You can imagine not hearing Scripture for, well, some people standing there had never heard it because they had been in the Babylonian captivity for 70-plus years where it was outlawed. And I'm constantly amazed at the power of this book. Because what we have here is the Word of God. We have words written on pages, compiled in a certain way in this book, which is the Word of God, and it is no less powerful than the spoken Word of God. Look what the Word of God did. God speaks and creation comes into being. God speaks and order comes from chaos. God speaks and his Son is raised from the dead. And what is amazing is that same power, that same word invested with that same power is now in our hands. And I think we take it for granted. I think we blow by this. And today we're going to concentrate on that, on this word and what it means to us and what it can mean to other people. And we'd look at Ezra standing up there and reading. And I want you to notice how he did this. First of all, Scripture is very careful to say that he opened the book in full view of everyone. Do you know how impressive and important and significant it is for others to see you open this book? Just that, just the visual of that. You want to see the power of this book? And just open it in somebody's presence, and everybody will always react when you open Scripture. It'll be a negative reaction, maybe. It'll be a positive reaction, hopefully. But it resonates power off these words. So Ezra opens the book in full view of everybody. Then what's he do? He reads the human voice combined with the written word in this book. A powerful effect on people. He reads it in their hearing, and then look at their reaction. When Ezra does that, God's intended effect on people is brought to being. This is an effective book, and it had an effect on people. They drop down to their knees and they weep. That is amazing. What happened? Well, something was awakened in them, don't you think? Something was awakened. I think what happens when people hear this book and when what is awakened in them is two things in my mind. I think it awakens in them echoes of what it means to be genuinely human. What we were always intended to be, how God always intended us to live, and the fullness of life that this book awakens in us. And so often, we're so bombarded with the world's parody and the world foisting on us what should be and what life is. And the world pushes us around, doesn't it? That we get into their mold and we start to buy into their concept of what life is. But when you read this book, it brings echoes of Eden, I think, into our lives. It does that, and it also it's a harbinger. A harbinger. It's an early warning system. You know, when one of the famous correspondences between New York City and the Titanic, they sent out a telegraph to the Titanic, and remember that? And they were warning them of potential icebergs in the water. And the message was taken up to the captain, and he said two things. He said, there are no icebergs in these waters, and number two, doesn't matter anyway because the Titanic is unsinkable. That is classic correspondence between the captain and the warning. This book awakens in us that there are indeed icebergs in these waters and that we are sinkable. Why do you not think that the enemy also knows the power of this book? Why is it outlawed? Why are we not permitted to even post Scripture anywhere? Why has the Bible been taken out of the schools? You know, when I was a kid, we had Mrs. Shook, who was the Bible teacher in Richland County for all the Richland County schools, and she would come right into our schools. Imagine that today. During school time, open up this book and teach each class Scripture. Whenever the enemy vociferously attacks something, we should pay attention to that because he knows the power of these words in this book and he knows that it awakens something in people. It's important for me in my life anyway to get away from the cacophony of the world and the philosophy of humanism that for me, from the minute I get up and turn on the radio on my drive to work, you know, it's just coming at me. And it can pull me. Does it pull you? It can pull me away. And I find myself, to my shame, sometimes bind into the narrative that the world gives us. And the only thing that gets me back is for me necessary, for me a daily awakening, for me getting back to this, letting the power and the resonance, listen, this might be very helpful to some of you, maybe let the resonance of this book come into your life every single day. I keep this book, and this is not braggadocious. It's just a need in my life. I take this with me to the office every day, keep it on my desk every day, many times have it open on my desk in the office, because I feel the resonance coming off those pages. And just walking by, if I just have time just to look at a couple of words. You know, sometimes when the world's getting at me, you know what else is helpful to me? I just think about Scripture. You ever do that? I just think about it. And I'm always amazed at the effect that has on me physiologically and psychologically. And then the effect that I have on others. It awakens something. You see, our mandate as God's people, and I'm just so convicted by this of late, and my ministry, my teaching, I think, has reflected this in the last few months. I think our mandate as the people of God is to bring this awakening into others' lives. You know, you've heard me talk about it. I've called it the God factor. That our mandate is to bring the God factor into the equation of people's lives. We have to do this. And I used to struggle with that. How do you do that? And sometimes you can do it totally inappropriately, can't you? But there's an appropriate way to do it. Three ways I think we bring the God factor into people's lives. Maybe this will be helpful to you. Number one, prayer. You know, we overlook that. And Teresa and I have talked about that in her uncle's situation. And the struggle for Teresa and Barry was how to bring the God factor into their uncle's life. And I said to her, the most powerful thing you can do to bring that God factor, number one, prayer. Pray for that person. We can all do that. That doesn't offend anybody. Number two, circumstances. Alter their circumstances somehow, some way. We talked about Rip Van Winkle faith a few weeks ago. You know, we don't have Rip Van Winkle faith. We are up and we are active and we are engaged with our community and with people. We alter their circumstances. You see a need with somebody, you fill it. Another way to circumstances, and my office is not Sanctuary Central or anything like that, but I'm just saying, in our office, and Sandy has commented on this. Just we play hymns. We play hymns over the system, and to me, I'm thinking that's bringing the God factor into people's lives. They hear those hymns, they hear the lyrics. Which, by the way, Liz, thank you, and Tad, thank you, because I have given them a mandate, and that is, I want the hymns. We're bringing the hymns back. You know, nothing wrong with the modern razzmatazz, maybe, but I get a little tired of that because, what's the word? Oh, yes, they're boring. So what I like about hymns is they're profound because they're based on Scripture, and just singing hymns, you're singing Scripture. So we do that in the office. It's bringing the God factor. It's bringing into the circumstance of those people that come into my office that are hurting, come in to see Teresa, who are hurting in a different way, come in to see Vika, who are hurting, and circumstances. We bring the God factor. And what's the third way? The Word of God. The Word of God. Not my word, not your word, the word of God. Can you do this? Yes. We can all do these three things. Why is it our mandate? Because it is eternally consequential to people. Remember Ezekiel being appointed the sentinel, and God said, I've made you a sentinel. If you don't do your job, you're going to answer for it. So the mandate for us all here at Newville is to be sentinels, because it is eternally consequential to people. And Jesus made that eminently clear, didn't he? He said humanity in and of itself, it's not just impossible for them to enter the kingdom. What was the word he used? What did he use? Utterly impossible for humanity in and of itself to enter the kingdom. But then he said generously, but with God added to their equation, at least it's possible. Not certain, but at least it's possible. How criminal of us as God's people to not bring this awakening to people. You know, Paul says in the 2 Corinthian correspondence, he says, you are the ambassadors of Christ. And as the ambassadors of Christ, here's what I think we need to do. Maybe this is an easy way for us to remember this. Your job, all of you, tomorrow, today, is to put God in the path of people. I like that. Put God in the path. Let's say the center aisles, it's a life of a person. And you intersect with people all the time, and you're on their path. Put God in the path. Make them encounter it. Bring the God factor into their equation. Otherwise, listen, it's utterly impossible for them. God's people are going to answer for this one day. We are going to answer for this. I am certain of that. How? Remember, prayer. Circumstances. The Word of God. Bibles. Bibles. You ever give somebody a Bible? Again, this is not, and I have to use these examples, and I know it sounds like I am putting myself up when I use these examples as a spiritual icon. I'm not, but it's an example. There's two people in this church, and they will readily admit this, didn't go to church for 30 years. And what happened? I simply gave them a Bible. The powerful word that has the same creative force in these words, get this, the same creative force here on a page that it had in Genesis 1:1. And it has the power to create newness now, has the power to bring order out of people's chaotic lives. Did you ever give somebody a Bible? How non-threatening is that? What a gift. Here, I have a gift for you. Well, thank you. You're the sentinel. Now, what they do with that, once you put it in their path, I've let go of that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Neither are you. But you are called to bring it. Bring the God factor. Bring the awakening to people. It exposes them to, yes, there are icebergs in these waters. And yes, we are sinkable. And it exposes them and awakens them to a new way, a genuine way of being human. Now, to put a practical spin on this for us, we have with us today a representative of the Gideons International, Mr. Daniel Phillips. And he is going to come now. Daniel, if you would, please. And as I said, put a practical spin on what we're talking about here. So, Daniel, God bless you.
What a great word. That was wonderful. It's a tough act to follow. There's a roadmap to heaven in the back of this little book. And I'll explain that in just a second, if I might. Thank you, Pastor, for having me here today, and thank you, congregation, for letting me have a moment of your time. And I just want to update you on what the Gideons have been up to in the last few years, and I'll be here for a bit to answer any questions that you might have or comments. The Gideons were founded in 1899 by a couple of traveling salesmen, and they had a room together, and they felt like it'd be a good idea to have a Bible in hotel rooms as they traveled about. And so a year or so later, they presented the idea to a group of churches. And the churches, they jumped in and said, yeah, we will support that. So that's where our funding comes from, is from the churches. So today, the Gideons give away about 1 million copies of the Bible every 6 days. Every 6 days. And the Bible is translated into over 80 languages, and we're in over 194 countries. And there's only 200 and some countries, so they're getting pretty good coverage. We're an extension of this church and every church. We're simply a group of local businessmen that love God and want to do something. And that's spread out the word of God to people. And our goal is to bring men and women, boys and girls, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like the pastor just told us. And the Gideons today, we're in hotels, jails, hospitals, nursing homes, military bases, lawyers' offices. And we go on to college campuses. Ohio State University allows us about 4 hours once a year, and 100 of us hit the campus, and we each have a station, and we give away about 10,000 of these little Bibles in the period of about 4 hours. And my opening statement, there's a roadmap to heaven in the back of this little book. Dennis Cook was distributing these little Bibles in Texas on a college campus. And as the classes change, kids come at you a whole lot at a time. And so he run out of Bibles, and he had to reach down and pick up a few more. Well, he made the comment, there's a roadmap to heaven in the back of this little book. And three young ladies stopped and looked at him, just give him enough time to reload. And in the back, the plan of salvation is there, mostly in through the book of Romans. So they stopped, and he walked them through the plan of salvation. Those three young ladies gave their life to Christ that day. And that's all the world to me, because I went to Ohio State University, and that's where I got in trouble. That's where I learned to drink and smoke marijuana and all the things that I shouldn't have been doing. So for me to go back for 4 hours a year and hand out Bibles, it's a wonderful experience. And maybe right some of my wrongs. In Mozambique, Nelson Fumar was 25 years old, and he was depressed, had money trouble, and he found himself on the 11th floor of a building, and he was working up there, and something told him, just walk over and jump, the 11th floor. He said, that'll solve your problems. Yeah, it would have, but he walked over to the edge, and he was about to jump, and something said to him, no, my son, I love you, don't do this. And he knew it was the voice of God speaking to him. So he backed off, and then he thought about a man that was all the time passing out Bibles. And it was his mother's neighbor. He was a Gideon. So he went and talked to the gentleman, and he gave his life to Christ that day. And today, Nelson Fumar in Mozambique is one of our Gideon leaders. David Berkowitz, who's the son of Sam Murderer from New York, gave his life to Christ because of a Gideon Bible. And Mr. Berkowitz doesn't even ask for parole anymore, because he knows that his mission in life now is to reach other people in the prisons. So if there were a soul to be saved in Spain or Italy or France or somewhere, who would go? Well, we have people all over the world that do that. And right now we're actually, we have a need for about 25 million scriptures that we don't have money for. But the Gideons are completely solvent, and they only produce Bibles as they have the money to do it. So they're behind the eight ball, but you know, they're going strong all over the world. And on that note, I had a gentleman ask me a while back to cover, you know, some of the countries that we're in. Well, we're in a lot of them, and we even have people in harm's way all over the world that, you know, you're not allowed to have a Bible there when they're the Gideons are handing out Bibles. In Argentina, we had a local gentleman, Tim Shirox, his name. He was in Argentina helping out with a camp. He's from Mount Gilead, Tim is. And they were meeting at a certain home all the time. Well, a bunch of robbers realized they were constantly going to be there at 8 o'clock in the evening or something to pray and read scriptures. Well, sure enough, they met them there and robbed them several times, so they had to change their schedule a little bit. That was in Argentina. In the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, the old Czechoslovakia, they were distributing Bibles in a hospital, and they had distributed about 200, and there was a young man there that was to be transferred out the next day to another hospital for a very serious surgery. Well, he wanted a Bible, and he gave his life to Christ, and after that, he felt like, it says that that was his last rescue. He felt like that he had confidence in going through with the surgery. In Ethiopia, this was interesting. There was a boarding house, and these people that were working in the boarding house found a New Testament, and they didn't know what it was, so they picked it up with a leaf and threw it out the door. And sure enough, somebody picked it up and put it in the windowsill, and a young man was walking by that had turned his back on God. So he picked it up, he knew what it was, and started reading it. Now that he gave his life back to Christ, and he passed it on to another person, and that person got saved, and then passed it on to another person. So the word of God doesn't go void. Absolutely. In Zambia, since 1972, the Gideons have distributed 10.9 million scriptures in that country, throughout the country. And then this last one, it was in the British Isles. It says, Gideons recently completed a school distribution in Newbury area of the British Isles, and they received the following letter. It says, thank you so much for coming to our school. I had a class immediately after your visit. Students were excited and pleased by their New Testaments. We spent the whole lesson looking at these together. We practiced finding passages and talked about dangerous situations in which David wrote many of the Psalms about trusting God. The whole class was positive and celebratory. Leading on from this, I decided to set up a staff Christian prayer and fellowship group to meet weekly in my classroom at lunchtime. So many thanks once again for the work that you do in scattering seeds. Let's pray for our schools to be fertile ground. God bless you. Another ministry that we have are the Gideon cards, we call them. And money can be sent to the Gideons, and it's in recognition, in memory of some event, but there's an envelope inside that you could put money in lieu of flowers or something, in memory of something. And 100% of all money that we receive goes to the distribution of Bibles, goes to the purchase of Bibles. I mean, we're local volunteers. We just love God. You know, we don't get anything for this, don't want anything. We just want to see God's word out there. And I'll have a few of the cards back there if somebody wants to pick some of those up later on. And in your bulletin that I distributed, you can donate that way also and send money directly. I thank you so much for having me here today. God bless you all. We're not allowed in the schools. And I forgot about this. This is the life book. Maybe some of you younger folks have seen this. This is just the book of John, and the Gideons decided to pick it up and support it. So some of the money goes towards that too, but it's the book of John. A young man from Willard came up with this idea. Carl Blunt was his name, and I've got a couple of these also. But it's just thelifebook.com. You can go onto the internet and order these. And you can take these into the schools and distribute them. It's not a Bible. So it's kind of a sneaky way to get in there. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.